AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. Welcome to the start of a new week. I'm Ryan Ballengee. It's good to have you here with us for our week kickoff show. We'll talk about the AT&T Byron Nelson, which is this week's PGA Tour event. We'll touch a little bit on the LIV event, which is a state up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Try to touch on the Sudal, I'm hopefully saying that right, Open in Antwerp, Belgium. And we also have the LPGA, which we'll talk about tomorrow. And frankly, we'll probably talk about the DP World Tour tomorrow. Their event is in New Jersey, Upper Montclair. Country Club, one of the best courses. They're going to play all year. They're really on a nice run of them between Wilshire and Harding Park's a major championship host. And now you've got Upper Montclair this week. I'm going to be up there next week, actually, for the media day for the ShopRite LPGA Classic, which is in the Atlantic City area. So wish me luck. I will be at Borgata the night before, hamming and egging it up on the blackjack tables. Hopefully, if you're around, if for whatever reason you're in the Atlantic City area, come find me at night and say hi. Get a hold of me on Twitter via DM. They're open, at Ryan Ballengee. Instagram, same thing, at Ryan Ballengee, if you're in the Atlantic City area. Hit me up. Happy to get together with you for a couple hands of blackjack. But let's talk about what we've got ahead of us this week. We've got the AT&T Byron Nelson, and we have KH Lee going for a three-peat, which is a rare thing on the PGA Tour, obviously. That doesn't happen very often, but KH Lee has won this tournament the last 2 years at 25-under and 26-under. So we know TPC Craig Ranch, which is the host of this course, is going to give him up. It's going to give up a lot of birdies. You're going to need like 30 birdies to have a chance to win this week. And that's kind of the headline thing. Not that KH Lee necessarily is going for a three-peat, but that this is a go-low kind of golf course. You're going to need a lot of them. So who are the players that you think are comfortable going really low? And frankly, it starts at the top of the board because Scottie Scheffler is in the field this week. He skipped last week to play this week because, like Jordan Spieth, who's also in the field, he is loyal to the Texas events. Well, there's four of them, so he's going to play them, which means he's in the field this week. He's going to play next week for the PGA Championship, and then he'll come back, presumably, and play the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial in the Fort Worth area. So we're kind of in like Dallas-ish this week, town's called McKinney. Then we'll go up to Rochester, then come right back. And then before you know it, we're at the end of May, and we are at the Memorial, which is our next designated tournament that's not a major championship. Scheffler's 9-2 this week, plus 450 to win. Makes sense. Obviously the best player in the field, best player in the field by far, has a week of rest. A number of these guys, most of these guys don't, because Rahm and Scheffler were the biggest names to skip. I mean, some did skip last week, but most of them are skipping to get ready for the PGA Championship and aren't playing this week either. But you do have Scheffler 9-2, and then you've got Spieth at 9-1, then you've got Tyrrell Hatton at 14-1, you got Jason Day at 16-1, Tom Kim 18-1, and then your defending two-time champion, KH Lee at 22-1, along with Hideki Matsuyama. The 30s are Adam Scott and Matt Kuchar. Siwoo Kim, Taylor Montgomery, Minwoo Lee's back this week playing on sponsor exemption because he's got that special temporary membership. He's a 35-1. Then your 40s, Matt McNeely, Seamus Power, 45. Aaron Wise is back, past winner of this event when it was at Trinity Forest. Tom Hoagie at 45. Then your 50s, Ben On, Davis Riley, Will Gordon. And then your 55s, and we'll stop at that point, Adam Hadwin, Steven Yeager, J.J. Spawn. And that's the lineup for the week. And then it starts to get a little bit deeper from there. But as you can probably surmise, Steven Yeager being 55-1 to win a PGA Tour event isn't quite the same kind of odds board as last week where he probably 150-ish to 1, you know, something like that. So a lot of guys that would be much higher, and with good reason, prices in a designated event have come down significantly this week. So you start to think about guys you might like here because either they like Craig Ranch or there is a working theory out there. And I'm not exactly sure how accurate this is, but let's take it for what it's worth and you can consider it, that there is some comp between Riviera and TPC Craig Ranch. Now, on the face of that, that is hilariously wrong, because those two places couldn't seem more different. And Riviera doesn't give up tons and tons of birdies, well, it does in the Power era, but it doesn't historically. And Craig Ranch gives up pretty much any score that you want to shoot. I mean, I would kind of be surprised if there wasn't someone threatening 59 this week, at least once, because it's that kind of course. But there does seem to be some parallel between players who like here and like there. So we'll consider that. I think I'm going to skip Tyrrell Hatton this week. 14-1 is, for one, too short. And two, I've already been got this year by thinking there's some Hatton momentum. And I think I bet him at the Valero Texas Open and got smoked. And I'm just still not over that. So I'm not going to fire back on him again. He's a great player. Not getting sucked in again. You're not getting me, Tyrrell. Jason Day, 16-1. A lot of people are going to like. Tom Kim, 18-1. A lot of people are going to like. Obviously, some people are going to put money on Cage Lee. I understand all three of those. It's hard for me to like Jason Day at 16-1. It's just not there yet. I mean, I don't think it is. I know this is a weak field. There's 13 in the world top 50. He's one of them. But that just doesn't compute to me. I'd like to see him in the 20s. If you could find him in the 20s, I would fire on him. Tom Kim's right on that borderline. He's a great ball striker, but the results are not there recently. I think I'm going to stay away from him. I actually told a buddy I was probably going to bet him. I'm going to rescind that because immediately did some research after, and I'm not particularly thrilled. KH Lee, though, I can absolutely see confirmation bias in betting and then him not playing well, because any player going for a three-peat knows they're going for history. Once is, hey, that's cool. Second time, you as a player, you can't even imagine trying to win an event 2 years in a row. So you get there, you're like, hey, yeah, all right. Well, now it's three. Now you're aware. You haven't lost this event to any other player in 2 years, and now you're trying to win three in a row. He did play very well in Charlotte, looked very good there. I can understand why you would want to bet him this week, but for the same price, you can get Hideki Matsuyama, who's been in the top 16 in his last three individual stroke play events, and he's been in the top five at the Players, T15 at the Masters, T16 last time out. And he's rested. I can absolutely support Hideki Matsuyama at 22-1. I'm going to bet Adam Scott at 30-1. If the Riviera comp holds, that's one thing. Loves Riviera. And then the other, played great last week in Charlotte. He's playing pretty darn well this year, kind of under the radar. And I know he doesn't win that often, but we already had an older guy win this year, Justin Rose. I'm not saying Adam Scott's old. I'm 40 now, so I think I can say he's a peer in terms of age, generally speaking. He can still win on this tour, and I think he can still win on this golf course. Matt Kuchar, another older guy, playing really well from April onward. Was in the top five last time out in Texas and in San Antonio. I don't think there's a comp between those two things, but I think some people are going to bet him. I'm going to skip him. Siwoo Kim, 35. Minwoo Lee, 35. I could like Minwoo Lee, not so much Siwoo. He's become tremendously consistent. He doesn't just sprinkle in tons of missed cuts in a row, which is really cool. He's gotten better as a golfer, but not necessarily as a guy I expect to win all the time. And I've talked about his consistency as a reason to look at him to bet in recent months, but it feels like the results are just kind of proving he's less prone to blowing up and missing the cut, not necessarily more prone to finishing in the top 10 or top 5 or threatening to win. And hey, that's great from a financial perspective for him, but not so great for us as bettors. Taylor Montgomery really does interest me at 35-1, though, this week. He's a great putter. Not the best on the PGA Tour, but pretty darn close, at least in my opinion. Not looking at data, just opinion. And he can make anything from anywhere. I think that works to his favor tremendously in a week where he knows he's going to need 30 birdies, and he can make them from all over the place. Greens are pretty big, so what he might lack off the tee doesn't seem to come into play. I don't even know if they have much rough at this golf course. It doesn't seem like it the way it's played the last 2 years. So that will work in his favor. And again, a hot putter, if it stays hot, should go a long way for him. I think I'm going to skip otherwise. I'm glad Aaron Wise is back. I don't know what to expect from him, given that he walked away, skipped the Masters because he was just not in a good headspace, did it for mental health reasons. Just kind of let him figure out things and see where he's at. I do like Tom Hoge a little bit. TCU guy. I could see why people get in there at 45. Ben Ahn's playing really good golf. Ball striker kind of guy, but just a not a great putter. And you're going to need him to make a whole ton of birdies. So I think that's asking a whole lot. Davis Riley, perfect golf swing. I do kind of like it. I probably will bet Steven Yeager at 55 just because, hey, as we talked about last week, this is the price the market's giving you. You know it's not a good price, but if you believe in it, then why not try it? Or if you don't want to go there, try him on a top 10 bet plus 500, about half the odds of last week, maybe a third of the odds of last week to finish in the top 10. And then drop it down a little bit more, starting to think about some players. Otherwise, you might want to consider. I'm always kind of drawn to Joseph Bramlett, 65-1, great ball striker. But I think I'm going to skip there. Garrick Hago, I think, is going to draw a lot of attention this week for someone who could probably potentially overpower the golf course. And I think that's worth talking about as well. Michael Kim. You might not want to bet him to win, right? I mean, he's done it once. But plus 750 on a top 10 does interest me. He's playing some of the best golf I've seen him play as a PGA Tour member. 90-1 feels a little short for him to win, but I really do like what he has done this season. And he played great at Quail Hollow, so maybe he follows that up pretty well. Nate Lashley, people liked. Probably liked seeing him on the top of a leaderboard for a little while. Most of last week, but kind of faded a bit on the weekend. Maybe plus 900 on a top 10 could be of interest. Eric Van Rooyen kind of interests me at 130-1 this week. So does Lanto Griffin at 130-1. Matthew Neesmith starting to rear his head again at 150-1. Starting to think about some guys like that. Pearson Cootie, 180-1. He was 300 last week. Do have an affliction of betting Pearson Cootie. So take that for what it's worth. And then you start to kind of get down pretty deep and dark here into the depths. But maybe you like someone like a Matty Schmid who rears his head every once in a while and then goes right back into the cave. But he could be a guy who could play pretty well this week, I think. Again, gain strokes pretty well off the tee, gain strokes well enough on longer approach play. I could be interested in that. And then I think that's where you stop because now you're in like CT Pan, Henrik Norlander, Carson Young territory, and that's just not worth it. Just don't even do it. If it happens, it happens. But I'm not willing to go that deep into it and waste some hard-earned money on those outcomes. That said, there are tournament props. And if you want to look at the winning margin here, I think 1 and 2 are your best options. And they are priced as such. Plus 250 for one stroke. Playoff plus 300. Two strokes plus 350. I'd probably go 1 and 2 here. And if you get the playoff, oh well. But I think that's a reasonable look. You can come out ahead on that kind of wager. If you want to wager three of them, then you need a playoff or two strokes exactly and go after like four strokes or the three strokes. So if you're thinking about that as to try to nip a little profit out of it, I would go, I guess, 1 and 2 and just leave it at that. So that's your look at the, at least first look at the AT&T Byron Nelson board. All right, on to live this week. We've got an event in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's a place called Cedar Ridge Country Club. Some folks that I know on Twitter, shout out to Bunky Perkins, says it's like the fifth best club in Tulsa, which obviously Southern Hills is the best. A couple others. Apparently, Cedar Ridge has a lot of kind of like corporate events on closed on Monday events, which, hey, I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying it might be more like TPC Craig Ranch than Southern Hills, which means just like every other live event, it feels like so far, they're setting up the golf courses to be easy. They haven't had many events where at least 15 under through three rounds didn't win somewhere in that range. And I think the way that they are creating the setups and the courses that they are playing and the way the schedule just kind of works. It works against certain players. It works against certain players who play better on tougher tracks. And that's why I'm wondering if like someone like Joaquin Niemann, who has had a couple PGA Tour wins and won at the Greenbrier, a place you can go low, won at Riviera, a place you have a hard time going low. But it seems more difficult for someone like that to win than someone who feels really comfortable going low, which Koepka feels comfortable going low. Taylor Gooch clearly does. He's won the last two in a row. Dustin Johnson feels comfortable going low. I think Patrick Reed does as well. Cam Smith, to a large degree, feels comfortable going low. So those are the guys that are kind of at the top of the board this week. You got Taylor Gooch and Koepka at 9-1. They've won three events of the, six that they've played, five that they've played. So that makes sense. Dustin Johnson's kind of starting to turn it around, it feels like. Maybe not entirely there. Patrick Reed's played well this year, feels like. He's 16-1 along with Mito. Sergio Garcia's 20-1 coming off that playoff in Singapore. Charles Howell III is 22-1. Peter Uihlein is 25-1. Harold Varner III is 28-1. I kind of like this week. Abraham Answer is 28-1. Matt Wolf, 35-1. Maybe you see a little bit of rub from Matt Wolf being an Oklahoma State guy. There might be a little bit of tribalism, so to speak, in terms of support this tournament. I think this will be a decently attended event from a friend of mine who is in the Texas-Oklahoma area. Texahoma, Okla, Texas, you know, whatever. Said that the Oklahoma people tend to support their sports extremely well. And they're going to view this as an opportunity to see great golfers. So they're going to probably come out and support it pretty well. I think that will work to the favor of someone like Peter Uihlein or also Matt Wolf, the OSU guys. I know it's more of an Oklahoma contingent, but particularly in Tulsa, I think. But you've got a lot of Okie State folks out there, and I think there will be. And Eugenio Chikara, same thing. Guy that came out fresh out of college. He's 80-1 to win this week. He's already won on LIV. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Phil Mickelson is playing very well. He's 50-1. Again, not sure that makes sense to me. Brendan Steele has seemingly played pretty well in his career in Texas-ish golf. Obviously, this is Oklahoma, but that kind of golf. 40-1 seems an interesting price for him. I wonder if someone like Ian Poulter or Richard Bland or Lee Westwood, and these guys are long shots, they're 80, and 100-1 each, if they may feel somewhat motivated this week because they had felt they had to resign their membership on the DP World Tour because of the sanctions that are going to come down and did come down from them for playing in the first LIV event last year, and probably more to come because the DP World Tour has talked about that, whether they feel salty or want to prove something or whatever. So if you got a little wild hair about that, and the four guys that resigned their membership are Bland, Poulter, Westwood, and Garcia. I haven't seen anything yet, and that could change while I'm recording this, from the DP World Tour about others who have resigned their memberships yet. That could happen, but that feels like a potentially motivating factor this week. None of these guys are playing great golf by any stretch of the imagination, but that might be something worth considering here. And really got a lot of bottom-heavy hitters on this lineup. I mean, if you look at the golfers who are 80-1 or worse, you got 8 right there, 9, 11, 13, 15, 17, 19 of the 48 golfers are 80-1 or worse, which means they ain't playing good. So about half the field is not playing well and half the field's playing okay. Planned accordingly. But other than that, I have a really hard time betting LIV or even considering betting LIV because these venues are unknown. The setups are, they're practically Korn Ferry Tour setups. They're not designed to challenge players against par. They are designed to create birdies and eagles because that's the ethos of LIV, right? The whole idea is more birdies, more crowd noise, more excitement. So they're not going to have an event where like -5 wins. They're not trying to do that. They're trying to do -20 wins. And that takes a certain kind of golfer to do that. And I think that those guys are thriving right now in this system. That all said, maybe CH3, maybe Uihlein, maybe Wolf for those Okie State connections. Taylor Gooch is an Oklahoma guy. Maybe him as well. Or Okie State guy, maybe him as well. And then Koepka's playing well. So if you want to take a shot on some guys, it's probably where I would go with that connection, even though I know there's no direct connection between Cedar Ridge and Oklahoma State golf program, but I would throw that out there this week as being a big motivating factor. Like I said, we do have a lot of golf on the docket this week. Just looking at the full slate, beyond the Nelson, beyond Live, you've got a couple of events that haven't been posted yet. You've got the Sudal Open, hopefully I'm not butchering that, in Belgium on the DP World Tour. You've got a major championship on the PGA Tour Champions in the Regions Tradition, which is totally a Steve Stricker or Bernhard Langer kind of affair, probably. We don't have the odds for that yet. We'll talk about that probably tomorrow. And then the LPGA is in New Jersey for the Cognizant Founders Cup, Upper Montclair. Great classic course. If you're in the area, totally recommend going and checking it out. Having fun there. But we'll go over that as well for tomorrow's show. We'll also go over the model for the week. Talk about horse for course plays at TPC Craig Ranch. Talk about current form guys. All that great stuff. Put that together for tomorrow's show. If you're listening to us through a podcast service where you can do this, leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a comment. Helps us reach more people. Tell a friend about us. That'd be nice. If you have any questions for me personally, you can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Get a hold of me on Twitter or Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. Happy to answer any questions that you might have. You can join Golf News Net for $99 a year at thegolfnewsnet.com. Just click on join and you got your membership options there. You can also join for a smaller membership that has nothing to do with really the fantasy side of things for $24 a year. If you just like what we're doing and want to support it, you can do that as well. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you next time on The Press.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.